Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
We are glad to be with you another episode. If you haven't taken the 30 seconds, go by iTunes, leave a rating and review. We'd appreciate your feedback. We want to know how to get better as well as what you like about the podcast. Hit that subscribe button.
Hit it.
And we will thank you via this moment on the next podcast by just saying thank you to all of you who have subscribed. So in advance, we say thank you.
A little something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's right. But you can't really see like the names of people that have subscribed. So
I mean, you can, but sometimes they're hard to pronounce.
We can say names of people that have given rating and reviews. Rating and reviews. I know which one you're thinking of specifically.
We do have a podcast favorite.
Yes.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about the importance of creativity in your student ministry. So there are going to be several branches of this discussion that we have. And with us today to talk about this, the one and only Andrew Hudson.
The one and only.
Woohoo!
Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast.
Oh, thank you.
So Andrew does a lot of stuff here at Lifeway, is the brand owner, guider, director of Bible Studies for Life across all age groups here at Lifeway.
Yeah, and that's decently fun most of the time.
Yeah, so you have that, and then you also have the director of our media team.
And that one is a whole lot more fun.
Yeah, and also not necessarily at Lifeway.
Oh, I see.
But smoker of many meats.
If that's where we want to go with this, we could fill an entire hour of just meat talk.
We can have meat talk for a little bit. So he really does. You can give. You want to give socials?
Yeah, Hudson Meat Co.
Hudson Meat Co.
That'll work.
And is a. I'm all the time asking Andrew for meat smoking tips and things that don't turn out. I'm like, hey, how do you do this? How do you get that bark on there?
Mm.
I know that's a question.
You're one of many that ask.
Does it and bother
I'll,
you?
No, I love is it. Are it you like, kidding? I love it.
Do you keep secrets?
No, see, that's the thing with the barbecue world right now is that everybody's an open book. And so here's the deal. I'm going to outwork you. I've got way more experience than you.
Yeah.
And I know what little tweaks to do. But I will give you my recipes. I will give you my techniques.
Yeah.
But I'm going to still be better than you.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's good.
And it's not about, it's not
I
competitive.
Love it.
It's not.
You can't touch me. So it doesn't matter what
I tell. How about led with, I'm going to outwork you.
Yeah.
Just right off the top.
No
Absolutely.
Question.
But it's also like, it's about the community. And it's all, like, if I'm cooking a brisket, I'm going to feed 20 people.
Yeah.
Right? And so come over. And it's about us having a big party rather than, your brisket's better than my brisket.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We're all
your brisket is better than mine.
I know.
Mine came out. The
thank you.
The first time I did it, I was like, this is a roast.
Mm.
Right.
Like, it's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
Man, I have a friend in Virginia who wrote a program to make sure that his smoker cooks, you know, everything that he smokes exactly the way he wants it to.
A program?
He wrote a program.
Like
so
software?
So he's got it in his computer. Yeah.
Okay.
And he'll plug in, what do I want this thing to taste like? And he can program it all and hit go, and he comes back when the program says the meat's done. Talk about tweaking. It's like, I want it a little bit more this way, a little bit more that way.
What is he smoking on?
I don't know. I don't
know
all the
specifics.
Is it
like an electric?
It has to be something that's super controllable.
I don't know. I'd have to ask him what he's using. I just found out from my wife and his wife are really close friends, and she is talking about, oh my goodness, you would never believe the complexity or, you know, the level of complexity that we've entered into with smoking a brisket.
It's but, so fun.
Yeah, she sent some pictures like, look at my husband's computer screen, and it's just like all these little categories that he plugs in, and so he puts electrodes.
Like, oh, yeah.
In there, and it measures all the different stuff. It's pretty cool.
So we had this discussion briefly at lunch today.
Ooh.
Because we had a barbecue place in our cafeteria today for lunch, and we were talking about barbecue, and someone around the table it was pulled pork. Mm-hmm. Someone around the table was like, oh, that's not barbecue.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. He had some weird definition of what can be barbecue and what can't, and quite I was annoyed by the person, so I just didn't participate.
Sure. We both of us didn't engage.
I just was dismissive of him, yeah. But in like a gracious way.
Of course.
So where do you land on, like, do you have a this is barbecue and this is not?
I do.
Okay, so what? Break that down for us. I promise we're going to get into student ministry.
This is important, though.
Yes.
For me, smoke has to be involved. So if it's grilling, it's not barbecue. It's grilling, right? And that is still wonderful. Okay. But if you aren't smoking something, then that's not barbecue. So if it's chicken, fantastic. I can have smoked barbecue chicken. Yeah. I can have brisket, pulled pork, ribs. All of it's great.
So it's all about the smoke.
Yeah, absolutely.
Favorite wood?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Which one?
So as a Texan, we used pecan a lot. And so now that we're in Nashville, pecan's really hard to find here. But there was a dentist right down the street that had a storm come through and knocked a tree down. And I took my chainsaw and grabbed all of it. So I've got pecan now for a while.
Just in your backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. Hickory's great. I'm not a fan of oak. I feel like oak tastes like ashtray.
Yeah.
But that's me. It burns really hot. So if you're doing a live fire grill, doing a steak over oak would be real nice.
Okay.
There you go.
I love it. This makes me want to go smoke meats right now.
I'm in. It's been fun, though. I've been able to connect with some Instagram friends. And so when I was in Asheville a couple of weeks ago, I stopped by one of their restaurants and he took me on the tour of his place. And it was like, we're weird friends now.
Yeah.
Do you have aspirations to smoke meats full time?
Oh, man, that is a hard question. I think that's the dream, but when it's a dream, it can be ethereal, right? But in actuality, man, that is a rough, rough life. We're smoking meats for 14, 16 hours a day, and then you wake up and you do it again the next day, and then you wake up and you do it again the next day. I have drawings and visions of what I would want my restaurant to look like, but at the same time, I don't want to deal with payroll. I don't want to deal with scheduling. I don't want to deal with the waitresses not being there.
Weekend food truck life, maybe?
I mean, we have talked about that a ton, but probably not.
Yeah.
I'm a bit busy right now.
You need that number two. This is going to do all that crappy stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think to segue back to our so you're a creative dude. You also, what I know about you is enjoy a process.
Absolutely.
So you are gifted in both being able to think creatively and organize a process and see the see the execution of the creative.
Absolutely.
And if I had to guess, with the smoking, the taste is one, but it's also a creative process.
Absolutely. Thank you for knowing that.
To do that kind of work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that gets you in your giftedness.
Man, I should do that more.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So not only is there creativity in my spice rub, and we're always tweaking things. I'm tweaking things, really. Celery seed, that's the secret. Celery seed in Texas is everywhere, and it's nowhere in Nashville. And so, like, when people bite into my stuff, that's what they're tasting. Anyway, even the way that you trim the brisket, there's a proper way to slice a brisket, and it changes depending on where you are in the meat. And so all of these things it just scratches the itch for sure.
Yeah. So when you think about student ministry, there are creative student pastors for sure. Without a doubt, there are a lot of creative student pastors that are able to think outside the box and add a lot of elements into their services and their programming. And maybe some of those are like you, Andrew, that are gifted in also being able to execute that. There are some that are super creative and can stand up and charismatically pitch a vision, but then 30% of the vision happens because they lack on the execution side. There's also the other side of student pastors that might be listening that would say, man, I'm not creative at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all I've got is, man, we're going to do worship, mm-hmm. and we're going to preach the word, and that's going to be good enough for my mm-hmm. students.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the creative one that maybe lacks execution. And let's talk through, like, how you move from creative vision to execution and following the plan.
Yeah. First, isn't it fun that we can all exist, right? So we're all parts of the body. And I am not very organized. I know that about myself, and I've been working on that for sure. But I can still drive a process, right? So you don't have to be completely type A just so that you can get things done. So a dude, your question was a dude that's super creative and can't get things through to the end.
Right.
I would say surround yourself with people that can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you might have the vision and then release that vision into the people that can actually do the work. When I was a youth minister in Dallas, we started a group of high school kids that were a little bit more into sound or into music or into the theater arts program, because the way my youth group was structured, they didn't really have a spot, and
yeah.
so we created something exactly for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we had a youth staff of 11, which is insane, I get. But I was in charge of these kids, and it was so much fun because then I had extra hands to roll cable or extra hands to move that case from point A to point B, setting up for any of our outdoor festivals. Like, man, I had a slew of kids that were excited about doing that.
Yeah.
And so it takes a village, right? It takes a ton of people. It's super collaborative. If you've got the vision for something, how do you inspire other people to go do it for you?
Yeah. And it's something that we talk about on the podcast a lot. It's putting vision, giving vision away, casting it over and over and over so that it gets in the heart of people, and then train them and set them loose, right? It's training saints for the work of the ministry. And
yeah.
a lot of times I think that segment of people might be left out in the saints that are trained for the work of the ministry because we don't think that way, mm-hmm. or it's our vision. We want to do it all ourselves and we want to execute it all ourselves. And it just never gets executed because we're holding on to too much of it.
Yeah.
Solo. I had this conversation. This has come up twice in the last 24 hours for me. So I help our student ministry at my own church here in the Nashville area. And we had a vision meeting and talked about some of the things we were going to be doing this semester and moving forward in our high school ministry. And had a parent come up afterwards and say, hey, have you thought about putting together a team of students that can help with the set design and creative elements that you mentioned tonight in your meeting? I was like, yes, we have thought about that. And that'll be part of leadership team things that we'll be introducing. But to your point, that mobilizes a group of people and gives students an opportunity to own segments of the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
True.
When they're not going to identify with so much of the other stuff that goes on. So it does grab the attention and engagement of a group of people that would otherwise be unengaged at most, and at very least not able to use gifts that God has put in them.
So which is more important then, that it be perfect and that your event goes off without a hitch, or that you involved a bunch of kids and you got to actually do ministry with them, right?
Yeah.
So that's a bit more important. So, and your thing's not going to go perfect anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
So that is a huge question. Do we at the beginning sacrifice a level of excellence in order to mobilize students in our ministry to have ownership in this?
Sure.
We hear that, John Paul, all the time with worship. Like, do we mm-hmm. have student-led worship? Or do we pay, outsource that, or have, quote, professional worship leaders come in?
I'm not saying don't be excellent. So there's still a level of training that can happen. That is discipleship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yes.
like, I'm yep. going to spend time with Nate, teaching him how to roll a cable, and then he's going to screw that up, and I'm going to show him again, and I'm going to show him again. And then finally he knows how to roll a cable,
yeah.
right? And then Jackson, all he wanted to do was learn how to run sound, right? And so I was like, this is a fader, and this is how things work, and this mm-hmm. is your gain knob, and this is what everything does. And so getting to take it back to a one-on-one was wonderful for me, but also now he is a wonderful sound engineer because he got to play with a soundboard when he was in junior high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's ministry, right?
Yeah. My brother is a product of that. My youngest brother is, he just was fascinated with sound. And like he would go to the library and check out books on sound. Oh, like he would read these fat books, like technical knowledge. And he would call me and go, "Mary Margaret, you're not going to believe this." And like just start rattling off. And like, so I would just listen and just let him talk about it. But now it's what he does for a living. And but it started because somebody saw him and saw his interest and didn't just brush him off, said like, and it was a part of youth group. And they said, "We want to learn, like come alongside," and it's been really cool to watch that.
So a key point in both of those personal testimonies of this happening is someone was willing to spend time teaching and training and showing how.
Mm-hmm.
It's an investment.
Absolutely.
And it's an investment that takes intentionality and us saying, okay, like I'm going to either train an adult volunteer to do that or for me to do that personally. There's something else that I'm not going to have time to do to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's training of somebody to do that other thing that is now rolling off rather than focusing it all on yourself and on your shoulders. So that's the type one, right? So let's talk about type two that we mentioned. That is the person who's saying, man, I'm not creative at all. And maybe even, because I know there are some out there, we're just going to teach the Bible, and that's good enough because it's God's word, and I don't need to put all these creative things in here.
Mm-hmm.
Respond to that.
I think that's a lie we've told ourselves for a long time. Creativity is inherently vulnerable, and we don't like to be vulnerable. I want you to create something that no one has ever seen before, and then I put it out there and you say, "I hate it." You're like, "Oh, that just crushed me," right?
Yeah, that doesn't feel good.
Right. Yeah. And so now I'm not ever going to do that again.
Yeah.
Right. But when we were in kindergarten, we all had crayons, and at some point someone took a crayon out and put a pen in. I think creativity is a muscle. It is something that some of us are stronger than others, but it is something that you can work out. And you can get better in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you take those first steps? Man, just start doing it.
Yeah.
Just start, pick something that you think is going to be fun and go with it. And it may not be, it may be awesome, but then continue to step two and then continue to step three.
And I think part of that equation too is, like you were saying, on one hand, if you're not strong in one part of the equation, surround yourself with the people that are so that they can do those things. The other benefit is so that you can learn how they do those things.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
sure.
The person that isn't, that wouldn't consider themselves the most creative leader, can benefit in some huge ways by being around people that they do recognize as creative personalities. Maybe they're not even a leader in the same kind of ministry or in the church at all, but you just see them and experience them as somebody who thinks outside the box. And just being able to spend time with them can be inspirational and give you those,
right.
Oh man, they thought about this from this way, so how do I think about what I'm doing from a completely different,
that's right,
different perspective? The other thing that comes to mind for me is a lot of times people that say, "We're just going to study the Bible. We're majoring on what's the most important." I think sometimes they see creativity as an impedance to getting deep into Bible study.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe we should point them back to the Genesis 1:1 of being a creator. So,
right. I think creativity is part of the fabric of the God that we see in Scripture. And so to explore who he is as our creator and the one in whose image we've been created, I think is to explore the creativity that we've been given as his people. And so I think it is deeply theological and mm-hmm. biblical mm-hmm. to dig into that part of who we are as the people of mm-hmm. God.
Absolutely.
And John Paul, like, you have heard me say this a couple of times recently in some context when we're talking about projects we're working on and stuff like that. But I think we have to be reminded that all of our students don't process and think the same. You know, their learning styles are different. And so sometimes that pushes us to have to go outside of our comfort zone, to have to go outside of our box, to go, if it's about us communicating the gospel, wouldn't we do anything that's going to help it make sense for those students? And sometimes that means we're going to have to be vulnerable, and we're going to have to take a risk and wonder if they're going to laugh or not, or, you know, whatever that may
they're
be.
They're not going to laugh.
They're going to laugh at you, not with you. Yeah. You know, but is it worth it to help those students engage the parts of their brains that want to learn and that need to just be tapped into in a different way? And, you know, I think it takes us being willing to bend and flex and to do some things a little bit differently for the sake of our students.
I think one of the things that's interesting about what you said, Andrew, earlier about in kindergarten, everybody's given a box of crayons. I think I may have heard you talk about this before at some point along the way with that illustration, but maybe not. I don't know. But it struck a memory for me in some conversation along the way that everybody is creative. Mm-hmm. There are just a group of people that pushed through maybe the disappointment and shame of that doesn't look good or disapproval mm-hmm. of what was created. Mm-hmm. And there were some that said, I don't like that feeling. I'm never going to do that again. And sure. So that muscle atrophied because we said, man, I don't like how it feels for someone to give me feedback on something I created.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just not going to create anymore.
Yeah.
And so maybe the challenge isn't that, you know, as leaders, because I've often said, man, I am not a very creative person. So maybe the challenge is...
You're wearing a purple shirt right now.
It's eggplant.
Okay,
more
sure
of a,
it is.
Yeah. But so maybe, like, people who say that, maybe we just need to think, okay, there needs to be a push through this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where I start to work that muscle again. And I, like John Paul, I want to surround myself with creative people so that I can see how they do things and adopt some of the practices mm-hmm. that they have. I think the other side of it too is if we're in an environment where we teach God's word and we a small group environment, a worship service environment, a camp environment, whatever that is, and we don't try to use illustrations, the senses, other ways to engage and drive home the point of what we're trying to teach, I think we're fooling ourselves if we say we're gonna say God's word without trying to think through what are these other elements that can help somebody understand what God's word is. Listen, I believe God's word is enough.
Mm-hmm.
I believe somebody sitting in their room by themselves with God's word can read it and the Holy Spirit can speak. Like, it is enough. But as pastors to this generation of teenagers, I feel like we owe it to every subculture in the room to try to have something that they will latch onto, maybe not every night, but over the course of a few nights, where the principle can be driven home.
Mm-hmm.
I would put this in the same category that we'd say, if all your illustrations are sports illustrations, you're missing 40 to 60% of the room. Mm-hmm. I would put this in the same category. If we never try to get creative, then there are going to be a whole group of teenagers that we are never engaged with as effectively as we could be.
You said something, just putting thought into what this is. I think that already is creative. So if you're going to think about how I'm going to reach a certain group of people, congrats. Like, yeah. That is creativity. And if you're going to come up with a specific illustration, you're going to come up with a game to go play, you're flexing those muscles. And so now I think it's a confidence building thing. So you've got to become aware that you are creative. And so how do you get better at that?
And creativity, to be a creative student pastor doesn't mean that you have to be the guy that can paint a picture while you preach the message.
Or be the funniest guy in the room. Or, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It doesn't mean that... Oh,
how do you feel about the painter while preaching?
If I could do it, I would.
Yeah.
Sand art?
All mediums.
If bonsai?
Trim this bonsai while
what
I
if you trimmed a tree into some type of spiritual portrait? Jesus, cross,
I feel
empty
like
tomb.
That would be very creative.
Very creative.
If you were to do
if
that.
If you've done that, send us a photo.
The point is...
Do we get fan art on this podcast?
Yeah.
I wish.
Send us your fan art, please.
That you don't have to be able to do those things to be considered creative. I mean, just like we're talking about, Scripture is enough. Let's think about the way that Scripture, that we learn from Scripture, it's all around story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so to tell the story of Scripture in a way that relates to the people that are listening is to follow the model of Jesus.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so many other teachers of Scripture that we study from. And so that figuring out how it's going to land, what someone's interests are, and understanding, okay, if they're interested in this, then I can teach this Scripture from a framework of what they love, and it's going to land. That is being creative without having to be a world-renowned graffiti artist at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those things that makes the transition from kids ministry to student ministry sometimes like a real hard turn, because I think in a lot of kids ministry across the board, there's a lot of creativity to the different elements that are a part of it. And some kids are very used to that and accustomed to that. And it's a big learning curve for them to make the move, you know, to a totally different kind of environment. And
from activity pages to a daily discipleship guide.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even just think of the worship room. Like if you have kids church, bright, active,
lights,
colors everywhere. Yeah. You go into student ministry, and most of the time, dark, dim lights,
moody,
black paint everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, man. Like, Yeah, it's a hard turn.
It's a hard turn.
So I have a question for you, Andrew. What you do at Lifeway forces you to... we're all expecting you to have new ideas all the time.
Great.
That's true.
Everybody in the building.
Valid. Yes.
Is looking
3,000 new ideas a year.
Go ask the creative team. Yeah. They'll know. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't even begin to imagine the draw on even someone who's naturally bent that way. You know, at some point I would feel like, man, I don't have any more ammo.
Yeah.
So where do you go for inspiration? You know, we're talking about building up that muscle and working that way. Where do even you go to think, what's the new thing? What's the creative element that I can implement?
Right. Great question. So we might have 3,000 ideas, but those are 3,000 ideas that we have vetted enough to where we're like, this is a good idea. The amount of bad ideas that we throw on the wall and then fall to the floor, it's insurmountable. Like it's a ton of bad ideas. So one, be willing to fail, right? So throw out an idea, put it on the board, and it's awful. Who cares? Move it on.
I feel like that's a good in brain. Like that's absolutely a role that I play.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And I think people will go, but what about?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. A guy on my team often says, now that Andrew is given us all the bad ideas, now we can actually start. Like, okay, thanks. Thanks. And I just promoted him too, right? So it's perfect. So where do we all go for inspiration? Start watching movies differently. Start watching TV shows differently. We do a ton of work in commercials. And so we're looking at the Clio Awards. We're looking at the Telly Awards. We're looking at just pick out an award show and then go watch all of those. Personally, I like a lot of biographies because I want to know how that person thought. And so where did Richard Branson go get all of his creative ideas? Okay, well, what if I tapped into that? Get a membership at a museum or just on Google, start Googling famous artwork. And there's something about seeing somebody else's work that makes you go, I think I could do that. We try, and it's not as much as we used to, but go for a walk. We work in downtown Nashville, And we were really, really close to a lot of cool buildings and a lot of cool, interesting people. And if you just spend your lunch hour, put a podcast in and go for a walk, and you will see some interesting things. Yeah. If you can escape into nature and marvel at some mountains, that's where I would like to be all of the time. And so is that going to be inspirational? Absolutely.
So your dream is the mountain cabin.
Amen.
With a porch outlook overlooking the mountains filled with meat smokers.
Yeah. And maybe a little pond would be nice. Yeah.
Like the whole rail of the porch is just one giant smoker lid that.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
It does sound pretty amazing.
Sausage hanging. Oh, yeah. Maybe a moose. Could we go find a moose somewhere?
To smoke?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really good, though. Just, I mean, you are observing everything that you're interacting with through that filter of creativity.
Absolutely.
Because you're absolutely right. We're taking in everyone else's creativity all the time.
Yeah. Right.
But we just digest that through, I loved that show. That was really funny.
And why that made why me think did you love of, it?
Yeah.
So was it the actor? Was it the wardrobe? Was it the lighting? Was it their pace? All of these things come into what make a good show.
I don't do that.
I don't either.
Mary Margaret? Not so much.
Oh, y'all are so welcome.
Mm. Thank you, Andrew.
I think that is you are welcome. I think that is a revolutionary thought, though, for somebody that might be, you know, in their heart of hearts, they are not willing to put themselves out there yet.
Yeah.
Beginning to think more deeply about the creativity that's around you is a good way to start flexing that muscle if you're not willing to just launch in.
Yeah.
Launch in. Do it.
Sure.
Go for it.
But some people are going to be like,
nah,
man, I just can't put myself out there yet.
You know, it's really easy this is making me recognize how often, and because I said it this week in a meeting, I said, I am not the most creative person in this room or any other one. And I think I very often excuse that, even though I am just more of a collaborative creative person. Like I don't do independent creativity very well, but in a room full of people, I feed off of what they're saying. And so I think we've just got to reframe some of what this looks like. And like you said earlier, surround ourselves with the right kind of people, because it's easy to look like, I remember in kindergarten, there was a kid named Daniel that was in my class and we went all the way through school together. But I was actually reminded of this recently because he posted something on Instagram that he had drawn for his kids. And I remember thinking in kindergarten, Daniel has better crayons than the rest of us in the room. Like that was my genuine thought, was like, why does he have the better crayons? Like, cause he would, but his dad was an architect, and I'm sure he had probably drawn with crayons more at his house than I had prior to kindergarten. But I just thought Daniel's crayons were better. But it was one of those things, like we had the same tools in front of us. The way that I was thinking about it as a 5-year-old, you know, but I still think about it sometimes now, is that like their crayons are better than mine. Mm-hmm. And so I just might as well not draw anything.
That's a huge trap.
Yeah.
So in the video world, if I had the biggest camera or the newest lens or whatever, then I'm going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it has so much more to do with the guy that's behind the camera than the actual camera.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we fall into that all the time. I think there are two things we need to talk through. There's a creator and then there is a curator. Mm-hmm. So you can be creative in both of those. I have guys on my team that will take nothing and turn it into something, and I still marvel at what they can do.
Yeah.
I know that personally, I am so much more of a curator.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to that museum or go to and hear a song and say, well, what if we took this and we took this and we put those two together?
Mm-hmm.
That is still creativity.
Yeah.
And so just because you're not the guy that's taking something from nothing into something,
right?
And those guys are magicians, right? And we all look at those guys and we're comparing ourselves to those guys. And we're saying, I'm not that. I'm not your buddy that had cool crayons, right? But at the same time, I can be a different type and I can still be creative.
Yeah, that's good.
I think this has been a really important conversation for maybe some people who would look, if they gave a true evaluation of current state of their student ministry, where they would look around and say, Man, we could really use some creativity. And that would bring more engagement from certain people in the ministry. It would bring more of an energy to what we're trying to do. And maybe they've been just, like, that's the honest evaluation, because they've thought, man, I'm just not a creative person. And for me to do that would be stepping out of my lane or stepping out of my giftedness, so to speak. I think this has been an important conversation for people to begin to realize, man, I can be creative. I just have to work on it. I have to be willing to put myself out there. I have to be willing to put people around me that can help me be creative. I mean, even for me personally, because I've been, like Mary Margaret said, maybe this is an Enneagram 3 thing that we're just like, man, I can't achieve that, so I'm not even going to try.
Right.
So, but
but the 4 is the wing.
So that's what I was going to say. My Enneagram would say I'm a 3 wing 4, not a wing 2. And I've struggled with the wing 4 because I've thought, man, I look around at the creative, quote, creative people in Lifeway and in our team, and I'm like, that's not me. Like, I can't do what they do. But I think the curator versus the creator, and being creative in both of those and taking the time to view the creativity around us in a different way, it are really eye-opening for me, just as far as like personality and how all of that fits together. I have benefited from this conversation.
I think we all have. And I think it is worth challenging anybody listening. If you are a student ministry leader, I think that you have a responsibility to tap into that creativity, because you have an audience that is still very creative. They have that creativity for whatever reason, if it's critique or if it's you feeling like you can't hack it. So whatever that experience was that kind of killed that creative muscle for you, if that's where you are, that has not happened in the majority of your students' lives. And they are drawn to that creativity. They're drawn to that exploration of what can come out of creativity and how that gives life in their world. And so if you're going to truly know your audience and reach them where they are, then you're going to feel a responsibility to tap into that in doing your job to the best of your ability. So take that challenge for what it's worth.
It's a good word. And maybe go to your boss and say, hey, I'm going to try some new things. Please don't fire me if something goes wrong. Right. And so get their sign off to don't create in a vacuum. Right. So if you can bring other people alongside, this is how I'm going to get volunteers, this is how I'm going to do this. But also having your boss on board with you, I think, is going to be huge.
Ben and I created a t-shirt in a vacuum one time, and our senior pastor's feedback was that it looked like somebody had diarrhea all over the shirt, and we printed it.
True story. You still have those shirts?
No.
So, I mean, some people probably
or
do.
Or a photo.
I do not have one.
Fan art. Great. Yeah.
That was a moment where diarrhea we said, t-shirts. Man, we could design a shirt. We just got to have Photoshop. Yeah, get in there and do it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So job security, that's what you're saying I have now.
We outsourced t-shirt design from that point forward.
Great, great.
Yeah. Very, very good discussion today. Worthwhile podcast episode. Share it with a friend. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We'll see you next time.